It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
He'll shoot and he hits it!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Football season returning in earnest tomorrow. The NFL kicking off in Philadelphia, where the Eagles host the Dallas Cowboys, and Dallas is coming unarmed defensively as they ship off their best player. That's just one of many, many, many major storylines ahead of the 2025 NFL season. You're in the right place if you're a football junkie. We got a big NFL segment to get to. Also unveiling my week one preseason power rankings here momentarily and the definitive list of Super Bowl contenders. Your calls, your criticism, your whatever you want to call it, your fight, always welcome at 605-362-3776. If you disagree with my list of Super Bowl contenders, I'm all ears. For you Viking fans out there, do you think your team is good enough to compete for the Super Bowl? If you do, I'm not going to argue with you. I think they're a really good roster. There's just a big question mark at quarterback. What exactly will J.J. McCarthy be, and how long can he be pretty darn good this year? Can he show up in the super big moments to possibly get the Vikings to a super big game? We'll wait and see. The Vikings not in my prohibited list of favorites for the Super Bowl. There's six teams there. A lot of people out there can mention those off the top of their head. And guess, Burt's a homer. The Packers are a Super Bowl bona fide contender, especially following the addition of Micah Parsons. Before that, I would not have had the Packers on this list. So I am buying into the hype just a little bit in terms of what they got, what they could be this year. The pass rush is going to be relentless. Rashawn Gary is a dude. He's awesome. He's not an all-pro. He's not the best pass rusher in the division. Hold your horses. But he's a really solid pass rusher that is yet to have a consistent running mate in the NFL that can exploit defenses alongside him. That changes as of this weekend with Micah Parsons coming in limited role. We'll see what that duo can provide Green Bay, and the definitive list of Super Bowl contenders and my preseason power rankings coming up at about 20 minutes on today's show. And we round out the show with the debut of Dings and Dents. If you got your days where you're feeling dinged up, dented up, less than stellar, Wayne and Mary certainly can help you out. They got all sorts of resources, great products, friendly service, friendly selection as well at Wayne and Mary's two different locations here in the Sioux Empire. One off of Kiwanis in Central Sioux Falls, one out there on the east side, 26th and Sycamore, Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. Let's dive right into your scorecard. Yesterday, the New York Mets handed the Tigers a loss, 12-5. Detroit is 80-60 on the year. Cleveland lost. Kansas City lost. And the Minnesota Twins got out to a good start yesterday. Things didn't go their way in the end, though.
And this ball is crushed deep left field. Benintendi going back. Benintendi misplays it at the base of the wall. It bounces off the barricade. Byron around second. Byron's headed for third. Byron slides in safely. Byron's got a triple.
So a good way to start the ball game. Bottom of the first, Byron Buxton leading off with a triple. But the issue was Minnesota took a 3-1 lead and surrendered 11 consecutive runs to the Chicago White Sox.
The 0-1 hit high in the air and a long, long way to right field for Andrew Benintendi. And Andrew Benintendi is living rent-free at Target Field. Upper deck home run for Andrew Benintendi. It's 11-3 in favor of the White Sox, who have dragged the Twins behind the woodshed tonight.
And the Minnesota Twins have the 15th hardest schedule remaining in Major League Baseball. White Sox are marginally easier than that, 17th hardest. And there's just 11 games separating the Minnesota Twins from the bottom of the AL Central. That's how bad things have been right now for Minnesota with yesterday's loss, 62-76. And typically, Mr. Positive Rocco Baldelli poured some cold water on that positivity postgame.
You know, I'm going to stay optimistic most of the time. But, you know, that wasn't good. That wasn't real good. You know, we did some good things to be in the position that we were in the fourth, fifth inning. Sim started the game off throwing the ball pretty well. The position players had some good at-bats, and Buck got it going again. There were some good things happening. You know, we started to, on the mound, not throw strikes. We had a couple of plays in the field where we don't complete plays that we absolutely need to complete those plays. Those are the fundamental baseball plays that you have to make consistently if you're going to win in this league. We didn't make them tonight, and then the game got away from us.
It certainly did last night, in Minnesota falling to 62-76 on the year, and they'll be in town again, Target Field, to host the White Sox tonight at 6:40, 6 o'clock, your pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Other finals, A's lose in St. Louis 2-1, and San Francisco beats up on the Rockies 7-4. Colorado, the first team to 100 losses this year. They're 39-100 in 2025. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Twins get going at 6:40, 6 o'clock pregame. Other matchups on the way, getting started here in 5 minutes from Detroit. Mets at Tigers, 12:10 start time. Guardians at the Red Sox. Royals host the Angels. Cubs are home to the Braves at 6:40. Brewers host the Phillies same time. Rockies home to the Giants. The nightcap, a 7:40 go time. We knew things were ugly, and we had our speculations about what exactly went down between the Dallas Cowboys, the agent, David Mulligetta of Athletes First, a premier agency in the NFL, and his client, Micah Parsons. Here's Mulligetta giving us a little bit more of an inside look at how things went down after the Cowboys wanted Micah, wanted to pay him at this number, and then said, okay, we'll trade you.
As far as Micah's concerned, he was out of the country. He got a call from Jerry's assistant and was asked to come in to meet about leadership. So when he got back from his vacation, he came in and he gave them a call, told him he was back, he was ready to meet. At some point during that meeting that was represented to him about, was going to be about leadership, it turned into contract and talk. And, if you're a 25-year-old football player and your boss, who happens to be the most powerful person in the NFL, starts talking about contracts, it's hard for you to end that conversation. So they had a conversation. Micah nodded his head out of respect. Obviously, there's a power dynamic that's a little different there. One guy is the owner of the team and the GM, and the other one is Micah Parsons, a young 25-year-old football player. So I'm not sure if there was a miscommunication there by the time Micah walked out, but at no point did Micah believe that he was negotiating a contract.
So certainly classy commentary there from David Mulligetta, because to be honest with you, he has every reason to be fired up if that's the case of exactly how things went. Again, those are his words. Jerry Jones certainly has waxed poetic about the situation as well. So he gets in there to talk about leadership and then corners his playmaker on the defensive side to negotiating a contract, or at least talking about it a little bit, without his CBA agent, his NFLPA certified agent there. Again, this is not a player that represents himself. And then the narrative was, according to Jerry Jones, yeah, we got the deal done. We sent it over to the agent. The agent says, stick it where the sun don't shine, essentially, is what we heard from Jerry Jones. But if you're David Mulligetta here, and you're an agent who is a bona fide agent of the NFL, you represent a zillion different players that have gone through a bunch of different negotiations, Jerry Jones says there ain't room for two at the table. Yes, there is. And it's a CBA, it's an NFLPA that has negotiated that. You should agree to it as an owner and a general manager of the team. So for him to negotiate without the agent, even if it was just talk, which according to Jerry Jones, it was not. This was the breaking point of the negotiations, was the fact that Jerry thought they were concrete, Micah thought it was just a talk, and the agent was left out of the conversation. So Jerry Jones asked recently, why trade Micah Parsons now? Because it frankly doesn't make any sense. It's all about feelings here. He wanted Mike McCarthy back, but he didn't really want Mike McCarthy back. They waited till the 11th hour. McCarthy decides to take a year off, and they settle for Brian Schottenheimer. They worked Dak Prescott's contract all the way up to the wire just last year. CeeDee Lamb had to wait. Micah Parsons had to wait, and then we had this hurt feelings agenda here, and now here's how Jerry Jones is spinning why to trade Micah Parsons right now and subtract from your team right ahead of the season.
There's a huge topic of conversation right now is the Micah Parsons trade. Cowboys fans have a lot of feelings about it. The world has a lot of feelings about it. And a lot of people want to know, why now? Do you feel like this is going to be a turning point in getting the Cowboys back to the championship?
We have two kinds of capital or currency in the NFL. One of them is draft picks, and the other is the financial, because every team is limited to the same amount of resources to spend. And having said that, Micah enabled us to have four, possibly as many as six players for the future. That's a good trade when you need numbers. I'll take the numbers every time.
So certainly you can take numbers, but Micah Parsons does not come around. Those kind of players do not come around often. That's why many people, and of course myself included, think the Green Bay Packers robbed the Dallas Cowboys. Two first-round picks, likely late first-rounders, and Kenny Clark, who is a rock-solid player. No doubt about it. He's been really darn good, but you can't tell me that you think Kenny Clark is a top-five interior defensive lineman in the NFL. He's been top-10 throughout his career, but he's never been a short list mentioned with the names of Aaron Donald and the other game wreckers inside. Kenny Clark has been very stout, very good, very young, and pretty decently affordable for Green Bay for a long time. He's a good get in the trade. He'll be missed in Green Bay, but the value the Packers got immediately has propelled them to be contenders and has propelled the Cowboys to be pretenders yet again in 2025, but not everybody piling on Jerry Jones. Here's Chris Mad Dog Russo coming to the defense of the Dallas leader.
You're paying a linebacker $45 million to, who may not even be able to play Sunday because he's got a bad back. Paying him $45 million, and they got the two picks. Listen, I don't like to support Jerry. He probably should have done this in May, open it up to other teams. But the idea that somehow Jerry Jones, and remember, the Cowboys traded Herschel Walker, everybody couldn't stand that, turned out to be the foundation of them winning championships. I don't have a major problem with it. Listen, Lawrence Taylor was on a team once, and nobody's better than him. That was 3-12 one. You need the quarterback, and he is not going to throw the ball, catch touchdowns, or run for touchdowns. Dallas getting too much abuse.
Dak Prescott is a pretty good quarterback in the NFL. He's not elite, but he certainly has that figured out. $60 million is what they're paying Dak. They're paying CeeDee Lamb $34 a year, Daron Bland $22.5 million, Kenny Clark $21 million this year. A lot of this is aggregated value, but Micah Parsons at $40 million, $42, $47, whatever the figure might be. It's $42 over 5 years in Green Bay. You feel like Dallas was foolish to let him go for that value, despite the fact that they would have been paying the majority of their cap to three or four or five elite players. But the Cowboys have drafted really well and had a really good scouting department for a long time. And right now they are devoid of a lot of talent on defense after a big time step back a season ago on that side of the football. And now they lose Micah Parsons, a dude who is synonymous with the Cowboy defense. A lot of water cooler conversations the last couple years had been, you know, that Cowboy defense, I don't know, but you know what, Micah Parsons, you got a game plan for that guy. Now I would challenge you to find a player or two on the Cowboys defense you could say that about honestly. You could say that about Daron Bland, Trayvon Diggs, and the back end of the defense, but the pass rush, the linebacker core does not scare you in Dallas any longer. Moving forward now, let's talk about what's ahead. Cowboys and Eagles Thursday night, 7:20 on NBC. Chiefs and Chargers, 7 o'clock on YouTube on Friday night. Kansas City, a 3.5-point favorite in the game. Titans and Broncos, Sunday, 3:05 on Fox. And the Lions visiting the Packers, 3:25 on CBS. Our coverage this weekend, 3 o'clock on ESPN Sioux Falls. Dan Campbell has enjoyed playing in Lambeau for numerous reasons over the last couple of years.
Man, we love Lambeau. I mean, it's awesome. You know, it's just, that's one of those places on the eighth day the good Lord made Lambeau.
That's head coach Dan Campbell of the Detroit Lions. Packers a narrow favorite in the game. 2.5 is the spread right now at ESPN Bet. Bill Barnwell talking about the expectations around Micah Parsons and his playing time out of the chute on Sunday.
I do think they're going to be thoughtful about a guy who didn't play during the preseason, who didn't practice much or didn't do much outside of sit on a training table during the preseason. I think even if you were 100%, you'd want to be maybe a little judicious about how you use him. You know, but I do think he's going to be in this game, and I think he's going to be in the spots where you need Micah Parsons. I mean, will he be on the field for first and second down at times? No. Is he going to be on the field if they're up 20 points, down 20 points? No. But every third down, every obvious passing situation, Packers are going to have Micah Parsons on the field. And even if he only plays 25 or 30 snaps in this game, that could be the plays that make the difference.
And again, there's going to be several ripple effects here for the Packers. How good can their offense be? Will they be more aggressive? You would think they would, because their defense is going to be a little bit more stout with Micah Parsons. The pressure of the pass rush, hopefully consistent for Green Bay. A lot changes for the Packers in the wake of that trade. Again, Lions and Packers, 3:25 on Sunday on CBS. And Monday Night Football, Vikings at the Bears, 7:15 on ABC and ESPN. J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings, a 1.5-point favorite in the game. NASCAR race this weekend is race number 2 of the Chase for the Cup playoffs. Worldwide Technology Raceway in Illinois, Sunday, 2 o'clock on USA TV. WNBA basketball last night, the Nate Tibbetts-led Phoenix Mercury, an 85-79 winner over the Fever. Phoenix now 26-14, Indiana 21-20. Get you an injury update later on Caitlin Clark in the show. Tonight in the WNBA, Sparks at the Dream 6:30, Sun at the Sky, a 7 o'clock go time. And college football chatter, Arch Manning's debut as the true blue starter for the Texas Longhorns left a lot to be desired, if we're being honest. And Jordan Rogers, former SEC quarterback at Vanderbilt, had this to say about Arch's development.
This kid's going to be really good down the road. I think we saw flashes of what we saw last year. I think his mechanics were a little all over the place. Feet were a little all over the place. Got to give a lot of credit to Matt Patricia. The defensive plan was amazing. It wasn't the pressure. It wasn't the blitzes. He only blitzed on 4 of 34 dropbacks for Arch. It was some of the mechanical issues, facing an elite defense for the first time, that's showing you things you weren't ready for. Everything was just moving a little too fast for Arch, and that's why you saw those inaccuracies. A lot of opportunities to hit big plays downfield. Now, we'll for a second push back against the narrative that Sark was conservative. I think he did exactly what he had to. He limited some of the full field progressions later in the game, went to some split field flood concepts. There were a lot of opportunities for Arch to hit big plays downfield. His eyes were on the wrong read at times, not getting or not being patient enough with it. So a lot left on the table. Kid's going to be good. He just needs to develop. He's going to win like his uncles win. Between the ears. It just takes time to develop that.
And it certainly does. Arch Manning has barely played any college football. That's game number 4, I believe, as a starter, or as the lion's share of the opportunity at the quarterback position. First start as a true blue QB1 in Ohio State territory in Columbus, and it didn't go well for Texas in the loss, but still very much a title contender. And that's one of the many hot takes, houses on fire sort of deals this week across college football. We'll have plenty of those in the NFL on Monday to break down and sift through, including on Tuesday in the wake of the Vikings-Bears game next week. But of all of the weird narratives being painted, fire Kalen DeBoer at Alabama certainly is one. Bill Belichick stinks and is going nowhere at Chapel Hill is two. And Arch Manning is garbage and overrated. And he, oh my gosh, how bad is he? That's another one. Three big yucky storylines, yucky houses falling, the sky is falling kind of deals coming out of college football week one over the weekend. Week two ahead for college football in our neck of the woods. Cy-Hawk game is in Ames this year. Iowa State hosting Iowa, 11 o'clock on Fox. Also an 11 o'clock start from the Twin Cities. Gophers are home to Northwestern State. 1 o'clock start for Augustana, home to Jamestown on Saturday. Other games on the way, Northern State battling USF at 6 o'clock, South Dakota at Lamar in Beaumont, Texas. 6 o'clock Saturday night on ESPN+. Plus, Akron visiting Nebraska, 6:30 on the Big Ten Network, and SDSU visiting Montana State. Could be a title game preview, 7 o'clock on ESPN+ Plus from Bozeman. U.S. Open finals to tell you about. Women first, the ladies first here. Jessica Pegula, American, defeating Barbara Krejcikova 6-3, 6-3 yesterday. And Sabalenka with a walkover victory over Vondrousova today. It's a noon start time for 8th-seed American Amanda Anisimova against 2-seed Iga Swiatek, noon on ESPN. Karolina Mukova meeting up with Naomi Osaka, 6 o'clock on ESPN on the women's side. And the men's side, Alcaraz beats up on Laheka, 6-4, 6-2, 6-4. And then Djokovic over the American Taylor Fritz, as my voice is hanging by a thread here on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. 6-3, 7-5, 3-6, 6-4 yesterday for Djokovic, who advances to yet another semifinal. Today, on the men's side, Felix Auger-Aliassime currently trailing Alex Demonar right now at 6-4, 3-3 in favor of Demonar winning set number 1 on ESPN. And tonight, 7:30 on ESPN, Yannick Sinner, the top seed, meeting up with 10th-seeded Lorenzo Musetti, 7:30 on ESPN. Let's dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Hour number 2, Gunnar Hensley, Augustana football quarterback, was named the NSIC Player of the Week after the Vikings took care of Missouri Western 30-26 in come-from-behind fashion on Saturday in the season opener. Vikings trailed 19-9 late in the third quarter. Gunnar Hensley in the game, 441 total yards, 430 passing, had 3 passing touchdowns and completed 31 of 51 passing attempts to 9 different receivers in the win. Gunnar Hensley, your offensive player of the week in the NSIC. And lastly here, looking at your Reliabank headlines of the day, Augustana Vikings moving from 23 to 20 in the latest AFCA D2 coaches poll. Minnesota State up to number 8 from number 11. And lastly, in the others receiving votes category, Duluth, Bemidji State, and the USF Cougars in there making their debut this year, getting one vote in the AFCA coaches poll. We'll take a needed water break here, try to refresh the old vocal cords as we make our way through hour number 2 on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. When we come back, let's dive right in to the latest from the NFL, definitive list of Super Bowl contenders. Put that together this morning, and my power rankings, preseason power rankings on the way for this Wednesday edition of Overtime. It continues next right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. Water break, getting the voice to hold up for now. Let's check out your South Dakota prep poll for the high school football rankings here. Lincoln remaining your top team in 11 AAA, 11 first place votes. They're followed in this week's poll by Brandon Valley at number 2, Jefferson 3, O'Gorman 4, and Harrisburg drops from number 2 to number 5 following a close loss to O'Gorman. 11 AA, Peer your top team, followed by Yankton, T, Sturgis, and Watertown. Single A, Sioux Falls Christian, followed by Lennox, Del Rapids, Madison, and Canton. And an 11B, Elk Point Jefferson, your new top team after a fall from Winner from number 1 to number 4. Elk Point Jefferson Huskies, number 1 in 11B, followed by Wagner and St. Thomas More. Sioux Valley, rounding out the top 5. And your top teams the rest of the way, Elkton Lake Benton, your top team in 9AA, 9 Single A, Wall with a record of 2-0, and 9B, Sully Buttes, also 2-0, 16 of a possible 20 first place votes. That's the latest from South Dakota high school football. Let's jump now to the National Football League. An 18-game NFL season that once seemed inevitable is no longer a certainty. David White, the interim director of the NFL Players Association, told the Associated Press that he hasn't had any conversations with the league about expanding the length of the regular season, which recently increased to 17 games with an 18th week bye week in 2021. White said he had a productive meeting with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell in New York a couple weeks ago, calling it a, quote, very good start to our relationship, and added they have agreed to an open and respectful line of communication. The league has the right to bring any issue they want to the table and presumably to propose what they're willing to give and receive, what they want in the negotiation. But we'll see if that happens. We haven't talked about it being a 18th game in the regular season. Haven't talked about it yet. And it certainly is not inevitable. And so it should not be presented as such. Expanding the season requires the two sides to renegotiate the current NFL collective bargaining agreement, which expires in March of 2031. So the league might be in a rush in terms of getting an additional game, more money for the owners and all the partners for the National Football League. But they might not be in a huge rush because they'll have to renegotiate the CBA and give a little bit more power to the players. There's going to be a lot up for grabs for the players to negotiate on this time around. Franchise tag, other things of that nature. We'll see how it all turns out for the National Football League moving forward. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and right tackle Luke Goedeke have reached an agreement on a 4-year, $90 million extension, $50 million in guarantee. Second round pick by the Bucs in 2022, Goedeke was scheduled to become a free agent after this season. Take note, Dallas, get the deals done early. It won't cost you as much. Speaking of which, Micah Parsons had never planned to sit out this season and would have played for the Cowboys in Thursday's regular season opener against the Eagles if he had not been traded to the Green Bay Packers last week. That's according to his agent, David Mulligetta, on First Take yesterday. Mulugeta said the Cowboys were never told that Parsons would not play. Never, Mulugeta said. I mean, Micah loves the game too much. He was going to play no matter what. In fact, Mulugeta contended that Parsons' first choice was always to remain in Dallas. And that is not a surprise based on everything we heard and the way that Micah presented himself throughout the contract negotiations. The dude was at camp. He was at mini camp, training camp, reported, was there at practice, did everything the right way, and certainly first choice in Dallas, not a surprise, but that's just an article up at ESPN.com. Other news for the Cowboys, they signed running back and NDSU alum Hunter Lipke to a two-year extension worth $7.5 million. The deal, according to a source, includes a little more than $5 million in guarantee. Lipke, the third Cowboy to sign an extension since the start of training camp, joining tight end Jake Ferguson and cornerback Deron Bland. And he might not be the last. Cowboys also in discussions with Pro Bowl left guard Tyler Smith regarding an extension that would make him the league's highest paid interior offensive lineman. Let's get to the power rankings first so I can give the voice a break here for a moment. Definitive list of Super Bowl contenders on the way. It's time to meet your best teams ahead of the 2025 NFL season. Preseason power rankings now on Overtime.
Another week is gone.
I see pride. I see power.
Some teams are on the rise and some having a tough go of it right now.
Can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere, leave you for dead?
No, I'm doing just fine, Clark.
But no matter how it shakes out, these better be better than last week's.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
It's time for Bert to hit us with his power rankings. The booms, the busts, and the teams you can't ignore.
You can't handle the truth!
All right, Bert, let's hear them.
Preseason power rankings for 2025 on the way right now. It's Overtime on a Wednesday. The voice going through it. I'm being as gentle as possible, making my way through this final segment on this Wednesday edition of the show. Bottom up here, top 11, teams on the rise, didn't make the cut. Cincinnati, the Chargers, the Rams, and the Niners. I just need to see something, some more. From the Bengals, they start winning, they start 2-0, then we'll talk and they'll be rifling up the board. The Chargers, the Rams, a little bit of uncertainty with both those teams, and the Niners just need to prove that they can get it done without Brandon Ayuk and a smattering of other challenges, particularly offensively for San Francisco. And can Christian McCaffrey stay healthy? Minnesota Vikings are the first team out. They come in at number 11 for me this week. Preseason power rankings. You go get a win in Chicago. J.J. McCarthy looks the part. They'll be in the top 10 likely next week. Number 10, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Love this team. What they can be. The dominance in the division. The offense is spectacular. And Baker Mayfield doesn't get talked enough about a potentially elite quarterback in the NFL. Tampa, number 10 for me. Houston, number 9. Another team feel really good about this year. They continue to get a little bit older, a little bit wiser, a little bit better in 2025. Houston in at number 8. Defense. The Orange Crush defense is back with Pat Surtain and company in Denver. Really like the Broncos. Don't love them just yet, but Denver coming in at number 8. The Washington Commanders in at number 7. In my power rankings now, and the Green Bay Packers, I'm not too high on them. I'm realistic. I know they have their faults and a lot of question marks, particularly at cornerback this year for the Green Bay Packers. They're in at number 6, and it's time now to meet your top 5. So from 5 to 1, away we go with number five, the Detroit Lions. We'll see what kind of shakeup there is this week between the Packers and Lions in the rankings. But Detroit, number 5 for me, feel good about it. They're a Super Bowl contender, and they retained the majority of their roster and got a little bit more healthy this offseason, and they're ready to go this year for another contending season. Now moving up to number 4. Number four in the rankings, the Kansas City Chiefs. Really like this team. I don't think they're going anywhere fast, but there is some room for improvement in Kansas City. We'll see exactly how the run game forms itself, the receivers, and somebody needs to step up in the absence of Rashee Rice. Kansas City feels just about right at number 4 for me.
Number three,
another team to me that has the elite characters on the squad. The Buffalo Bills are right there. They got the quarterback. He's the best quarterback in the NFL right now today in Josh Allen. Love the QB, receivers, backfield, defense, Buffalo, though, has the right juice, the right recipe, the right substance. They just need to get over the hump in the postseason. So Buffalo at three feels right to me.
Number two.
Number two, the Baltimore Ravens, probably my darling this year. Last year, they had it all figured out, and then they got into this thing called the postseason again and couldn't figure it out. Baltimore, number two. I'm not putting them number one because...
Number one.
You got to beat the best to be the best. Philadelphia starting number one for me. I feel really good about that. Again, they lost a coordinator, lost a couple key playmakers, and a lot of depth this offseason for the Philadelphia Eagles. They've got questions, but they got the pedigree, and they were the best team in the NFL last year. And they got the job done when it mattered the most. Philly, a Super Bowl champ. They start atop my power rankings, preseason power rankings here in 2025. Now, let's get into this as the voice continues to deteriorate throughout the show. Definitive list of Super Bowl contenders. And I got five different tiers here. Here are the tiers. Frontline contenders. There's six teams there. Teams that can win it and you wouldn't be overly surprised. There's a lot of teams there. Then there's a there's hope category. Teams that are probably worth watching and could mix it up, could make the playoffs, could be feisty. There's hope for the franchises on that list. Tune in. That's another characteristic. These teams aren't going to win the Super Bowl, but they're worth watching in 2025. And then there's four teams in the no chance category, and that's where we'll start here in our number two. No chance for the Cleveland Browns this year. No chance for the Las Vegas Raiders. No chance for the New Orleans Saints. And the fourth team for me, no chance, barring in a lightning in the bottle Jackson dart for the New York Giants. No chance for those four teams, Browns, Raiders, Saints, and the New York Giants. The tune-in teams might have a flash in the pan, could be feisty, things could work out. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Titans, the Daniel Jones-led Indianapolis Colts, by far the best team on this list, and the Carolina Panthers, we'll see about Bryce Young this year. Now, the there's hope category, these are the teams that could make the playoffs. These are the teams that could give their fans some hope in the stretch run of the season. The Patriots, the Steelers, the Jaguars, the Cowboys, the Bears, the Falcons, the Cardinals, and the Seattle Seahawks. That's the there's hope category. Now, let's get realistic here. Teams that can win the Super Bowl, Cincinnati, Denver, the Chargers, the Commanders, the Vikings, the Bucks, the Rams, the Niners, and the Texans. It's a long list of teams that can win the Super Bowl. Playoffs are likely. They've got some really big advantages over the rest of the league, but they're not elite teams. Here are your frontline contenders, the definitive list of Super Bowl contenders in 2025. It's six teams for me, three AFC, three NFC. Kansas City, duh. Buffalo, yeah. Baltimore, best roster in football, top to bottom. Those are my three in the AFC. And then Philly, pedigree, recent success, coaching staff figured it out. Eagles are on the list. The Lions are on the list. And the Green Bay Packers, who would have last week been on the can win it list, they are a definitive Super Bowl contender. I'm not saying favorite. They're not a favorite, but Green Bay a contender, frontline contender in 2025. That's it. Definitive list of Super Bowl contenders and your power rankings in 2025 are out. I'll get those posted up later on social media. We take the break, come back with more of Overtime on a Wednesday. We got dings and dents around the corner, meeting the injuries you need to know about across the sports world, and then the good, the bad, the ugly to follow that on this Wednesday edition of Overtime, which continues next on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast, free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Yeah. It's just about tea time for the old voice box here on this Wednesday. Going through it, trying to hold it up, prop it up for you to finish out the show on a strong note. It's time now for a brand new, newly minted segment on the program. During football season, Dings and Dents, brought to you by Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. Did you know Wayne and Mary's has two great Sioux Falls locations, and they're celebrating September in the biggest way possible, the 55th anniversary of Wayne and Mary's. That's right. Since 1970, they have been Sioux Falls' experts on nutrition. We know natural health at Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center, and it is a big month at Wayne and Mary's. Buy one, get one 50% off on all Wayne and Mary's labeled products, educational events, top supplement brands on store in store, and you can sign up for giant end-of-the-month giveaways, including $155 gift cards and so much more. For 55 years, Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center has been the family-run local experts in natural health supplements here in the Sioux Empire. They have two locations. If you've never been, if you're out on the east side, it's Sycamore and 26. If you're Central Sioux Falls, Western Sioux Falls, Northern Sioux Falls, Southern Sioux Falls, the Central Sioux Falls location going to be off Kiwanis Avenue here in the 605. Time now for Dings and Dents, brought to you by Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. Are you not feeling your best lately? You can check out Wayne and Mary's to get back on track. Two Sioux Falls locations, and they've been your Sioux Falls local natural health experts since 1970. Dings and Dents. Who's dinged up? Who's dented up around the sports world? Wisconsin Badger football certainly could have had a better opener this year. They got the 17-0 win against the Red Hawks of Miami of Ohio. Defense looked good. Offense looked MIA. And that is due to the fact that starting quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. exited the ball game as he recovers from a knee injury, suffered an injury on a non-contact play in the second quarter of Thursday's win against Miami of Ohio. Sources told ESPN's Pete Thamel that Edwards' MRI came back clean, and he's dealing with a sprained knee. So it'll be Danny O'Neill, transfer from San Diego State, who replaced Edwards against Miami. He'll start Saturday, assuming Edwards isn't good to go against Middle Tennessee State at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. Other dings and dent news to get to. The Falcons got wide receiver Darnell Mooney back on the practice field last week, but it remains unclear if his shoulder is well enough for him to play against the Bucs in week one. Head coach Raheem Morris called Mooney day to day when he spoke to reporters today and said the team will give the wideout as much time as possible to show that he's ready for game action. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid said last week that rookie wide receiver Jalen Royals would likely miss Friday's opener against the Chargers, and the team officially ruled him out on Wednesday. Royals will not travel with the team to Brazil as he continues to recover from a knee injury that delayed his NFL debut. Jalen Royals on the shelf. Rashee Rice suspended for 6 games. Wide receiver room going to be important for Kansas City early on in the year. Ravens tight end Isaiah likely fractured his foot during a training camp practice, and there was some hope he'd be able to recover in time to play against the Bills in week one, but that looks unlikely that the Ravens will have him. However, Ian Rappaport of NFL Media reports that likely expected to miss the season opener over the weekend. That news item courtesy of Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. And lastly, brutal injury news to get to. Dings and dents from New York concerning the New York Jets just days ahead of the season opener. Jets right guard Elijah Vera Tucker going down with a significant arm injury in practice that could require surgery and might end his season. Vera Tucker, who was injured on Tuesday, is seeking an alternate second opinion, according to Adam Schefter. Jets had no comment today, and they have no practice and no media availability either. And this is a familiar pattern for Elijah Vera Tucker, who has missed extended time in 2 of his 4 seasons because of different injuries. The Jets were counting on Vera Tucker, perhaps their best offensive lineman, to ease the transition for rookie right tackle Armin Membu. Tucker, just 26 years old, possible he'll miss the entire season for the New York Jets. Really brutal news there for Elijah Vera Tucker and the Jets. That Stings and Dents brought to you by Wayne and Mary's Natural Health Nutrition Center. They know everybody is different at Wayne and Mary's. Check out their two locations on the east side at 24th and Sycamore and on the west side at 46th and Kiwanis. That's the latest there. Dings and Dents, a segment we will have featured on the show throughout the football season. And it's time now to round out the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Wednesday.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side? Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example? Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, let's get right to it. Don't mess around. You can't afford a bad or ugly outdoor setup at your home or business. Visit hardscapesoutlet.com today or any of their three Sioux Falls location to plan your next project for success. You bring the inspiration. They bring the rest at Hardscapes Outlet and hardscapesoutlet.com. The reigning Summit League Defensive Player of the Year on the volleyball court, Cameron Ferris, picked up the conference's first weekly Summit League Quick Star Defensive Peak Performer of the Week honor, as announced by the league yesterday. It's Ferris's fourth weekly honor of her career. She led the Yotes in digs per set, and aces across the three matches this weekend. Ferris also dished out 25 assists, and she is your Quick Star Defensive Peak Performer of the Week in the Summit League. Other news to get to, bad news from Major League Baseball, a benches-clearing brawl yesterday. Rafael Devers hit his 30th home run. Rockies pitcher Kyle Freeland, along with San Francisco third baseman Matt Chapman and shortstop Willy Adames, were ejected from last night's Giants win following a benches-clearing incident that started after Devers hit a two-run homer in the first. Devers hammered a sweeper over the right field wall. Freeland took exception to Devers' celebration, shouting at him as he neared first base. That caused several players to charge toward the infield, where Chapman appeared to make contact with Freeland. Adames also was in the middle of the scrum. Bad news, ugly news in Major League Baseball, especially because the Rockies absolutely positively stink and lost game number 100 last night. Other ugly news to get to, we don't really have any timetable to share on Indiana Fever guard Caitlin Clark's potential return to the floor. She is still not cleared for contact drills during practice sessions, but the second-year guard did participate in full-court five-on-nothing work during shoot-around in Phoenix yesterday morning. Fever coach Stephanie White told reporters that Clark had been limited to shooting drills and individual work. The 2024 Rookie of the Year has been sidelined since June 15th. With a right groin injury, Tuesday's game against the Mercury will be the 19th consecutive game she missed, and the Fever lost last night. Their record now, which was once pretty darn pretty, is not that. 21-20, the record for Indiana as of this morning. Caitlin Clark, no return in sight, is progressing, but I gotta say, progressing very slowly and a lot slower than most people expected in this early portion of September for Caitlin Clark. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That is our show, and we move along into the Thursday edition of Overtime. You'll want to tune in tomorrow. Hopefully the old voice box doing a little bit better, but it's Minnesota Vikings Thursday. It's NFL Preview Thursday. We got a ton to get to, and we're going to be previewing an NFL football game tomorrow on the show, because tomorrow night the Eagles are going to beat the brakes off the Dallas Cowboys. We preview that game, talk all things Minnesota Vikings, break down the Micah Parsons trade from a Viking fan perspective. We'll see what kind of flowers Dustin Baker will hand across the table to my Packers. We'll see. Minnesota Vikings Thursday tomorrow. Hope you can join us from 11 to 1 when the next edition of Overtime rolls back around right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. We'll be right back.